Can I apologise for sounding like Barry White? I've had it, and blokes, you understand, it's proper man flu. Ladies, I know, like, and like, pregnancy's tough. I get that. I do. But you ain't had man flu, so it's like a whole other realm of pain that you haven't got to. And you'll all know that as a man as well, I keep it to myself. So I don't share the issues that I've got when I can't breathe or I can't sleep. Nobody would know that I'm ill in our house. And that's wasted because they've both gone outside there, haven't they? So anyway, apologies for feeling like this. Do you know what I'm going to start with? I'm going to start with some words. We are speaking about the Holy Spirit this morning because it's one of our key values of our church. Is we don't just believe in the Holy Spirit. We don't just seek the Holy Spirit. But we absolutely want the freedom of the Holy Spirit to move in church. And in this church, that's absolutely what we want. I could probably just stop there, really, and just then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But I've got some words just for a few people, and then I'm going to kick off with what I was going to say. Carl, so it's just as we came in, I was just looking at the lake there, and the sun was kind of on it. I mean, it's a man-made lake, isn't it? You know, it's not even a lake. It's a large pond, all right? And I was just, and the sun was just beating down. It just looked so peaceful and so calm and so perfect. And it was, and it's still, but it's just ready for fun, isn't it? You know that lake is just ready for people to come and have fun on it. And it's perfect for a hive of activity in the right season. So you stick the sunshine out there and a nice warm day and an ice cream van, you'll have hundreds of people around that, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? It would be. It's perfect for fun in the right season. And Stephen was telling me that the council have fairly recently invested in painting it up and cleaning it up. And, you know, there's been some investment and some cost gone into that lake and that facility. And it's ready for action. And that's you. You've been invested in. God has spent time on you. And you're ready for fun. And you're ready for a hive of activity in the right season. And that season's coming soon. And when the sun comes out, the season's upon you. And there's a whole host of activity going to go on. And hundreds of people are going to be involved in that. And that was for you, Carl. For Annie, when we were worshipping there, I just got a picture of you plastering a wall. I don't know if you're any good at DIY or not, but I just got a picture of you. And it was a really old wall. It was all cracked and craggy and horrible, really. But there you were with a plaster mix and a... one of them. And you were just literally plastering the wall. And, you know, we've often had our walls plastered at home, and it takes a while for the plaster to set and dry, doesn't it? You can't do anything until the plaster's set and dry. And I think that's what God's doing with you, with other people. He's using you to prepare them, because he's going to come and do a paint job on some people, a remarkable paint job that is going to see them look completely different and transform those lives from a cracked, broken, craggy, horrible place into an amazing, beautiful new picture. And God's using you in that process. So keep your tools handy, I think is the message for you there. Now for Becca, and just while you were leading worship, I just got that word. I think it's in Proverbs where it says, an angry word fuels an argument, but a kind word calms a situation. And I just believe that's a specific ministry for you that God's got. Is he's so gentle, but in it you're going to say things that are just going to calm situations, and it might be with mothers and babies, it might be with siblings and all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like God's specifically put like that kindness gift on you, just, and it's the words as well that you use in it. And then the last one was for Tom, just at the very end of the worship there, I just saw you playing this game of Jenga. Have you played Jenga? I mean, particularly the little Jenga. You get to a point, don't you, where you think there isn't another move you can make. You know, you get to a point on Jenga, don't you, where you think, if I move one more brick, it's just all going to fall. And you tinker around the edges, don't you? And you say, oh, well, that one go well, that one won't really go. If you're in our house, it's like, you know, get on with it, you know. But you know, it's like, and I think, you know, there are times when you feel like that. You're like, flipping out, if you make one more move, God, in my life, the whole thing's just going to fall. And yet, and I've experienced it, I'm like, oh, there's nothing to move now on there. And then someone comes in and they just flick it and it moves. And they put it on the top and I'm like, oh, I never saw that one coming. And it's absolutely fine and the whole statue stays up. And I believe that God is going to supernaturally hold up your life know, with all the moves that he makes, with all the bricks that he moves, with all the changes that are going to come, he will supernaturally hold up the tower of your life. So there's a few to start with, eh? Is that right? And you should take them away, pray over them, and decide whether they're of God or of man. And if they're of man, put them in the bin. And if they're of God, pray on them and think on them. Okay, so Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for shedding your blood for the forgiveness of our sins and for your resurrection life that says that one day we're going to meet you in paradise forever. For all those who know Jesus Christ, we're going to be with you forever where there'll be no more sin, no more pain, and complete joy in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, can't do this without you this morning. So come now, Holy Spirit, and fill this place. Fill every heart, fill every mind, fill every soul, fill every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know what's amazing about heaven? There's no day and there's no night. There's just the glory of God shining. There's no sun and moon. Did you know that? There's no sun or moon in heaven. The light of heaven will be provided by the glory of God. Can you get your head around that? I can't either. I can't get my head around the fact that there's no day and no night, but that the glory of God will shine all around, and that'll be the only light that you need. And if anyone's got any ideas on that, I'm all ears. I really am. So last week, Tom talked about evangelism, yeah, as sort of the first value of this church. Preach the gospel, and people will get saved. And that's the first thing that we want. The second thing is move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about this week. You know, when we started Amazing Grace Church, one of the absolute things that we want for every single person is for us all to fulfill our potential. I'm good, mate, thanks. I'm good. All for us all to fulfill our potential. You know, I come from a background of church where two or three people ran the whole show and everyone else was just a passenger, really. And I just think that's pants. I don't see the point in God pouring out his Holy Spirit on all of us, but hardly anybody being asked to use it or move in it. And I know that you can be in Asda and at the school gates and you know, at home or on a holiday and move in the power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But in church, we absolutely want the movement of the Holy Spirit in everyone's lives. And particularly in this church now, as we start it new, we want the freedom of the Holy Spirit to move. Without it, it's just boring. Church is boring without the Holy Spirit. It's just a group of people that come together doing stuff in their own strength. And guess what? You'll run out of strength. You have to do it in the Holy Spirit. And we don't want any bottlenecks. I absolutely want you to move in the power of the Spirit. You know, I've been a Christian for over 40 years. But my general experience of Christians is this. And, you know, no names, and I'm not having a go at anyone, but this is my general experience of Christians. They struggle, always. They're defeated most of the time. And they seem to claw their way through life. There's no victory. And that's been my observation with many Christians for many years. And that is not at all God's plan. Jesus said that we can have heaven on earth. Well, if we can have heaven on earth, and heaven is paradise, heaven is this amazing place where victory always wins, then shouldn't we have that on earth? Isn't that the model that Jesus died for? Well, it absolutely is. And I'm desperate for you and me to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you move in the power of the Holy Spirit, victory defeats everything. It defeats all of our struggles. It defeats all of our fears. And we move in an amazing, miraculous way. I was just thinking about your leaflet in the surgery. Can you imagine someone coming in and saying, which doctor is it you want to see? And they go, oh, the miracle doctor. do you want to see Dr. Jones? No. Dr. Ahmed? No. The miracle doctor, please. Oh, he's fully booked. He's fully booked today. Well, actually, you can never fully book the miracle doctor, can you? And you don't need an appointment to go and see him. And in the same way, God wants you and me to be walking miracles. If Christ is in us, then we should be out there doing everything he did and more. And in Joel chapter 2, which is an interesting name to give your son, it says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So So not just this side of the room, not just people that might have got here early, not just men, not just women, not just the intelligent, not just the kind, but all flesh. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit is there for you and me, whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes or 50 years. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And John 14 says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And this is the bit that knocks me out. And they will do even greater things than these. Can you imagine going to a football training session? Sorry, Jenny. I know you said you'd walk out if I started talking about football. I think specifically Middlesbrough, all right? Carl, I was in a good mood when I came in and Carl said, did you watch the match yesterday? And I went, and Carl, don't talk to me about football. I'm preaching in 10 minutes. I don't want to be in a narc. Can you imagine somebody like Lionel Messi introducing himself to you and you can't play football? You can't kick a ball for toffee. You can't do anything. For those of you that don't know, Lionel Messi is probably the best footballer on the planet right now. One of two, all right? And has been for many years, okay? So imagine he's the most skillful, the most influential footballer on the planet right now, earning gazillions, all right? And you bump into him on the first morning, on a bright sunny morning, and he introduces himself and says to you, morning, just to let you know, by the time I've finished with you, you're going to do way more on the football field than I've ever done. And you can't kick a ball. It's interesting, isn't it? In the same way, Jesus himself, as he ascends to heaven, says, you will do greater things than me. Do you think you're better at Jesus than miracles? No. Do you think you're more special in the way that you can do them than him? No. It's just he was here for 3 years. He was here for 3 years. And in 3 years, the Bible says, if I told you everything he did, I couldn't write it down. There aren't enough books to write everything down. What Jesus is saying is, you've got your whole life. You and me have got our whole lives. The human race has its whole life to emulate him, to do what he did. You'll do way more than me, he said, because you've got longer at it, and there are more of you. So go for it. Knock yourselves out, is what Jesus was saying. You know, creation starts with the Holy Spirit. The Bible starts with the Holy Spirit. As God created the earth, it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering on the waters. He was there in the beginning. He's here today now. And he'll be here at the end. And by the end, by the way, the end is just the beginning. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Some people say they can feel the Holy Spirit. Some people don't. But let me tell you, he is here right now. In this room, right now. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit as your helper. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit to do all those things that I have for you. Life's hard, isn't it? Don't you think? Don't you think life's hard? Or are you all living really easy lives and it's just me? Because I don't know about you, but, you know, 6:30 on a dark, wet Monday morning isn't necessarily a pleasure for me when I know I've got a week of work ahead and the kids won't get up and go in the shower and the house is a mess and blah, blah, blah. All right? Life's hard, isn't it? Life is not easy. It isn't. Life isn't easy. So how great is it to have a helper? How great is it to have somebody that carries you along? The Bible says, I go before you, I'm beside you, and I've hedged you in behind. The Holy Spirit is everywhere for you, here in every situation. Whatever that situation is, there's a saying at work that I have, which is no job's too big or too small. And it's exactly like that for the Holy Spirit. No job's too big or too small. I'm short of cash this week. I don't feel well this week. My relationship with my best friend has gone south and I need your help. Job is just absolutely killing me. Help me, Holy Spirit. And he will, because he's always here. He's always here. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer actually is when you say yes to Jesus. The moment you say yes to Jesus, he comes into your life. Unless you're someone like Paul in the Bible, who God is just absolutely adamant to nail, and then he'll do it his own way. But for most people, the Holy Spirit comes on us when we say yes to Jesus. And then there's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit might be in us, but when does it come out? When does it shine? When does the egg crack and this wonderful new creation come out? Well, actually, different times for different people. So, for example, some people, it happens the moment they say yes. The moment they say yes. My Auntie Val, who some of you know, came to a Sunday night service at our church, and Graham Seed was preaching. And he said, if anybody would like to give their lives to Jesus, come out the front now. My Auntie Val went out the front. It was at a time when we're taking people out into a back room to pray with them and what have you. And the moment my Auntie Val said the sinner's prayer, she said she could feel this tingling on the top of her head and a supernatural power come over her that she'd never felt before. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting itself on my Auntie Val the moment she said yes. I've seen it happen at baptisms. So a guy in our old church called Brian, we were in Stockton, and he and I got baptized at the same time. I was 18. He was like 60. He'd been a Christian a few years. We were getting changed in the men's toilets. And then we both, you know, and we were just having a normal conversation. Everything was fine. And there was nothing special about Brian. Nothing amazing. Nothing different. We were just having a conversation. We went out. I got baptized, came out. I felt no different. I have to say, I felt no different. Brian got baptized, came out. We both went into the men's toilets. We're drying off, getting changed. And Brian says, how'd you feel? I said, all right. He went, I feel amazing. I feel absolutely great. I'm like, put some clothes on, Brian. Something had changed in Brian. He was different. The Holy Spirit had burst out of him at that moment. Isn't that awesome? And for other people, it's at different times. You know, for me, mine was years later. I became a Christian as a kid, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I kind of went to church, and I was a Christian. I was saved, but I wasn't anything in terms of moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't hungry for it. I'd never asked for it. And then we went to Spring Harvest in 1995. And at Spring Harvest in 1995, there was a new band on the scene called The Cutting Edge, led by a worship leader called Martin Smith. And they went on to become Delirious, the band Delirious. And they'd just started, they'd been going a year or so. And there was 2,000 or 3,000 people packed into this theater. And the lights were dark. And there was a hunger in the room. I don't know if you've ever gone into a room and you can feel the presence in the room. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked into a room and thought, I could touch whatever it is with my bare hands. There's an atmosphere in here. And you know what? I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And there was me and Carolyn and Stephen was there and a few from our church youth group. And we stood and we worshipped. And as we worshipped, I just started speaking to God. God, I just love this. This is totally different. I want more of this. Holy Spirit, I want you. I was just, this hunger came over me for the Holy Spirit. And as we stood in this theater, and I'm looking at the projection, the screen with the words on, like we were there, I started to feel like spots of water on my face. Not like a shower of it, just the odd spot of water. And as I looked, and this might sound a bit weird, it was snowing inside the room. See, if God's supernatural, he can do anything he wants. He can split the sea. He can make the day stand still. And he can certainly make it snow in a theatre in Skegness. And have you ever had it where a piece of snow lands on you and melts immediately on your face because your face is warm? Have you ever had that? Well, it was doing that. It was melting on my face. Just little spots of snow melting on my face. And I was like, I just couldn't move. I couldn't move for this presence. I couldn't move for this experience. And I didn't want to move. I just wanted, just keep snowing. Just keep snowing, God. years later, I kind of dismissed it as maybe just my imagination and getting carried away with it until I shared this story in our own church where I said, I mean, I felt it was snowing, but it probably wasn't, but it just felt like it was. And Stephen came up to me at the end of the meeting and went, I was in that meeting and it was snowing. And I was like, it was real, because the Holy Spirit is supernaturally real. And from that point on, I've never been the same since. So on fire for God. I started speaking in tongues just a few days later. And a few years later, I started genuinely moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, because Martin Ruddick really helped me do that. I wasn't quite sure how, and he taught me how to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, whether that would be giving words for people or moving in the power of healing or faith. He just gave me some help in doing it. And in Ephesians 4, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. How long have I got? 12. All right. So whistle stop 10 minutes then. So the first one is apostles. Some in this room are called to be apostles. You can be called to be all of them, but some of you are going to be called to be apostles, if not already. An apostle goes. An apostle is someone who is sent and sends others. Jesus is the perfect example of apostleship. He was sent from heaven to earth, to the depths of hell, and back again to heaven for you and me. What an apostle that is. And, you know, Tom and Stacey have been sent to this church to build it. And I pray over you, government, Tom, I pray over you that you would build this church and run it well with wisdom, governance, and the Holy Spirit. The second person, or the second wave, the second type of person moving in the Holy Spirit is the prophetic. People who move in the prophetic. They're people who speak, they hear words from God, and they speak his words to others. And some of you in this room are called to be prophets. Some of you are called to speak Jesus' words to the world. Jesus spent his life prophesying, didn't he? He was forever telling people about things that were going to happen. And I pray that this church would regularly hear from God and move in the prophetic word. He called some to be evangelists. Tom talked about preaching the gospel last week, but some of you in this room are pure gold evangelists. You're called to reach others. And Tom preached it last week, and Martin was preaching last week, and he said in his sermon, we owe this world the gospel. And we do. We owe Redcar and Mask and Saltburn and all of the associated estates around it. Don't know if it goes as far as Whitby. Well, why not? We owe this coastline the gospel. We owe it to them because Jesus died to bring it. We owe them the gospel. And I pray that this church would move in evangelism and reach out. Some are called to be teachers. Some of you are called to be teachers of the word. You see, teachers love the word. They absolutely love reading it, digesting it, meditating on it. We're all called to read the word, but some of you just love reading the word. And for some of you, you're called to teach others, to explain scripture with authority, and use stories to do so. The New Testament is littered with Jesus' parables, isn't it? A man goes for a walk and sows some seed. That is Jesus using stories to tell the gospel. Some of you are called to be teachers and teach others. And finally, some were called to be pastors. Pastors care. Some of you are called to pastor others. Jesus was called the Good Shepherd because he looked after his sheep. And you and me are called to be pastors of a flock of millions of people. Pastors look out for the lost. They look out for the hurting. They look out for the lame. They look out for the vulnerable. And they absolutely love people. In fact, this is all a waste of time if there's no love. setting up this church is completely pointless if we're not going to love the people that come in or the people that don't. You have to love them. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 8, it says that if you don't love, you have nothing. If you don't love, you're just a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Do all good works. You can prophesy. You can teach. You can preach. Do this all week. If you don't love, we're nothing. Your exam paper doesn't even get marked if you don't love. And in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says this. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek, and I know you all read the Greek version of it as well, in the Greek it says, continue to be filled. I once heard a preach where somebody said, once you've got the Holy Spirit, that's it. You don't need it any, you know, you don't need anything else anymore. And I get that. Once you've got the Holy Spirit, you have got the Holy Spirit. But the definition of being filled is to be continually filled. I don't know about you, but after a heavy week, I'm running on empty. After a heavy month, I am on vapors only. And at the end of a heavy year, I'm exhausted. Aren't you? Or is it just me? When you work hard at something, it just takes it out of you, doesn't it? You're knackered at the end. And you know what? That's okay. But that's why there is a continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So if I was to ask Roy today to move in the power of the Holy Spirit for the next 10 hours, I guarantee you, 10 hours from now, he'll be on his knees, exhausted. So what does the Bible tell you to do? The Bible says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I'd like to ask you, would you like to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? At the start of this year, I don't know where you are, maybe you're running on empty. I am. I am so tired from last year. I haven't even started getting over it yet for this year. Maybe you've put so much into last year that you're done. And you need a miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life right now. Because believe you me, you can't do it on your own. You can't run a family on your own. You can't run a business on your own. You can't get a promotion on your own. You can't bring your family and friends to the Lord on your own. You can't guide your children on your own without a constant infilling of the Holy Spirit, or you will crash and burn. And this morning, forgetting everybody else, I just ask you to close your eyes for a minute. Would you like a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit this morning? Would you like him to take you to that heavenly petrol station and fill you up with Super Grid? Because you can put your credit cards away. This fuel stop is on the house. You don't even need to get out of the car and do anything. It's attended service. Just tell him what you want, and he will fill you up. He'll open the cap of your life. He'll put the pipe in and churn away pure, liquid, spiritual gold into your life this morning. Super Grid, right to the top. In fact, he's so generous, it will overflow. I'm sure you, like me, particularly years ago, used to get so narked when you'd overflow your petrol tank because it's a waste, isn't it? Petrol that overflows from your petrol tank is just a waste. You can't use it. But this morning, Jesus wants to overflow your spiritual tank because he's so extravagant in his blessing. And if you'd like more of the Holy Spirit this morning, all I want you to do is stand from your seat and lift your hands for him to fill you now. And if you don't want to do that, but you'd still like him to fill you, then just lift out your hands. And the incredible news for us in this room this morning is we're all standing because we're all hungry. So Holy Spirit, come like a rushing wind on this room right now. Fill us all to overflowing. I prophesy big things in your life this year. I pray wisdom over your job. I pray wisdom over the decisions that you have to make. I pray that God would strengthen you for all the ups and downs that doing your job does. Times when you're disappointed and times when you're let down. I pray that God would heal you from all of those things and make you robust and strong. Not that you wouldn't care for people or change, but that you would cope with it. That you wouldn't lose sleep over it. That you wouldn't be hurt by it. And that you would bounce back every time. I pray strength over you and wisdom in everything that you do in your job. And Lowry, I pray for you as a dad that you would get the right mix between work, church and family. That you wouldn't put anyone ahead of the rightful order. That you wouldn't be influenced by other people, whoever they are. You wouldn't be influenced by people just because they can influence you, but that you would use wisdom to serve God and your family and church. Because if you get that wrong, that's wrong. You know, many people go on to be famous preachers and pastors, and the kids are out of control, running wild in the world, because the dad was yet another meeting. Be wise, Lowry. Be wise in everything you do for the benefit of your family and the benefit of your business and the benefit of your church. Be wise. And Jenny, I pray over you now that you would be resilient to every brick and arrow that's ever thrown at you, that they would bounce off you, that you would be supernaturally capable of rising from every punch that's thrown your way. You know, I watched a boxing match a few weeks ago of a couple of heavyweights, and in the very last round, there was this punch that knocked this guy on the floor. And the whole world said, he's never getting up from that. And he did. Remarkably did. And he actually didn't lose the fight either. And I pray over you, Jenny, a spiritual resilience to bounce back from everything, every arrow, every stone. Lord, I pray a shield over Jenny now that many of them would bounce off her life. Carolyn, did you have any? And Carolyn's just got a few words for people as well. And just in this spirit of receiving, just let Carolyn do this now, in Jesus' name.
Okay. This one was for you, Liz. Went to watch my son play football this morning, and I went in these Ugg boots that I've got on. And when I got there, I realised it was on grass, which is not good for Ugg boots. And then I remembered I had a pair of sturdy boots in the boot of my car, so I got them out. And I was thinking on that when I came in and I saw you, it was your top I saw as I came in. And I just feel like God's saying is, you're comfortable at the minute, whether that's in your Christian faith, whether that's in your job or whatever it is, I don't know. Like, Ugg boots are comfy. And what he wants you to do is, they're not fit for the purpose that he's got for your life. You need to go in the boot and get your sturdy boots out. Now, that might be frightening. I don't know what it is that God's preparing you for, but the boots are already there. And when you put them on, they might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Or wherever it is is going to move you in, might feel a little uncomfortable. But the boots were already in the boot of the car. And like, they're there waiting. You just need to have faith to put them on, really. And then Andy, when Roy was doing communion, I got this overwhelming hunger in my stomach. And I thought, why am I hungry? I'm not, I don't need anything. And I think it was like a deep pain really in here. And God's put a hunger in you, and he's going to feed it. As soon as I took the communion, it went. And like, that hunger that's in there, as long as you're going to God, I think it's this new understanding of his word, really. And as you sort of get into it, he's going to really reveal a lot of things to you. And I just feel like if he in prayers with you specifically at the end, just over that. And then my last one's just a general one. It's like a fear. If anyone's got fear in your life, you don't need to have it. A couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, Martin was speaking, and in the middle of the preach, he just said something about fear and it not being from God, just a comment that he made. And now James was in the meeting with his feet in the air, turning around, going to the toilet, coming back, and I thought, he's not listening to a word. Why is he in here? He should be in kids. And then on Friday night, I was walking him home from a friend's house and it was dark. He was on his scooter and he said, "Mam, can I go off now?" And I said, "Yeah, of course you can. Why do you want to go off? Normally you stay by my side, because where we live, there's some trees that he doesn't like going by because he's frightened that someone jumps out on him." And he went, "Martin spoke and he said that, you know, you don't need to have fear." So I believe that I don't have fear. So he went off, just went off on his own, and I went, "Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus." And he's scooting down going, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, this is good. And he went home, no fear. And it's simple faith. You know, if you've got fear, any type of fear in your life, God wants to take it away. Don't need it. And we need simple faith like our James's. So if anyone's got that, we'll pray for you at the end.
Is that all right? So we're done. And, you know, we just want to, if you want prayer, we just want to pray with you. I think it's interesting, right, that that you're here this morning and this place needs a miracle. Just, you know, put the two together and you decide for yourselves what that means, all right? But I don't think you can have enough of the Holy Spirit. And so if you'd like some prayer, you know, we're not going to be doing, like, you know, massive long 40 minutes of prayer and bolts of lightning are going to come down from heaven. I don't think. And it doesn't have to. Yes, week three, and it doesn't have to. But if you do, you want to say something? Yeah. So if you like some prayer, we'd love to pray with you, and then we'll all have a cup of tea at the end, eh?